As I put my titles in the bulletin this morning, I want to speak on the subject, how to know God. How to know God. I want to talk to you this morning about your relationship with God. I'm going to talk about salvation, but I'm not going to stop at salvation because God desires for us to have more than to just get saved. He wants a relationship with us. He wants to fellowship with us. There's many examples in the Bible. He wants us to be like Adam and Eve, where the Bible says in the book of Genesis that they walk with God in the cool of the day. He wants us to be like Noah, again in the book of Genesis, where it says Noah walked with God in his generation. Like Enoch, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Like Abraham, Abraham was a friend of God. Like David, David was a man after God's own heart. And God wants that personal, intimate relationship with every single one of us. You might say, why would he want that? Because he loves you. He loves you as an individual. Yes, he loves the whole world, but he loves you as an individual, and he wants you to get to know him. He knows all about you. He knows all about me. But he wants us to have that intimate personal relationship with him. And in Exodus chapter 24, we read part of it, of the story. We're going to look at some more of it tonight to see what comes from knowing God. But God gave Moses five instructions that if we'll follow today, we can get to know God. We can get to know him in the way that he wants us to know him. And so we're going to, quickly this morning, we're going to look at those five things. The first one is the first, word that God said to Moses there in verse 1. And he said unto Moses, come, come. If we're going to have a relationship with God, every single one of us need to do that. We need to come. Moses had an invitation, as does every single one of us, to come to God. In Matthew 11, 28, we get it from the New Testament, where the Bible says, where Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so you have an invitation from the Creator of the universe to come and know him and have a personal relationship with him. You don't have to worry about coming into his presence. It's not like Queen Esther, who went into the king without an invitation, and if she wasn't acknowledged, she would be killed. It's not like that. You and I have a personal invitation, a one-on-one invitation, an invitation direct from God to come into his presence. And I know I would say, and there's many of you that would say this morning, I'm not worthy to do that. I'm not right enough. I'm not good enough to come in to his presence. And we're right. None of us are worthy to come in to the presence of God. But that verse doesn't say, come unto me all ye that are worthy. It says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, God does not invite us because of our worth. He invites us because of our need. Our need. And I want to tell you this morning that he has what we need, and we need to claim what he offers to each of us by faith. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Faith is depending on God. Faith is believing what God says. And when God says, I want you to come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Labor under the burden of sin. Heavy laden with the burden of sin. And I will give you rest. You see, there's many people saved this morning. There's some people here this morning that don't know Jesus as their Savior. But at one time, we were all in the same boat. We were all sinners headed to hell with nothing that we could do to change our destination. We had broken the commandments of God. We were unworthy of anything that he wanted to give us. And we had no credentials or nothing that we could lay before him that would make us worthy for heaven, worthy of his presence. But he didn't leave us in that condition. Praise his name. He sent his only begotten son to live among us without sin, go to a cross, take all our sin upon himself, die and pay for our sin. And he offers to every single person the gift of eternal life. Amen. And he says, come, come, Come and get it. Just come unto me. You say, I don't have enough faith. Yes, you do. Don't you ever say you don't have enough faith, because this book says that God has dealt to every man, every person, a measure of faith. You have enough faith to get saved this morning. And if you don't get saved this morning, it's not because you don't have enough faith, it's because you won't come. Let's be honest. It's not because you don't have enough faith, because God's given every single person enough faith to get saved. If you don't get saved, it's because you will decide not to come. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And He wants you to come. He wants to save you. He wants to forgive your sins. He wants to give you a home in heaven. And He wants you to have that personal, intimate relationship with Him. It's not just getting saved and getting into heaven. It's not just getting saved and avoiding hell. That's all true. That's the only way you get to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. But please, 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 don't stop there in your relationship with God. He wants more. He wants you to have that personal, intimate relationship with Him, like He had with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 4, the Lord hath made all things for Himself. That's why He created Adam and Eve. A lot of people say, well, He needed somebody to work in the garden, so He made Adam and Eve. No, He didn't. He spoke everything into existence. Don't you think He could take care of the garden without putting man and woman in it? He made Adam and Eve because He wanted their fellowship. We were made for Him. And let me just tell you this morning, God would rather have your fellowship than He would your work. You listen. Say, preacher, you're preaching heresy. No, I'm not. I want you to understand this. He would rather have your fellowship than He would your work. Because I know, and He knows, that if you are fellowshipping with Him, you will work for Him. But the sad thing is, there are many Christians on their way to heaven that are working for God and doing things for God, but they don't have that daily walk. And they don't have that intimate relationship. And if you don't have that intimate relationship, let me tell you what's going to happen. It'll happen sooner or later. You're going to burn out. If you just work and don't have the love and know the Savior in an intimate way, yeah, you can work, but pretty soon you're going to burn out. Because it's the love that constrains us to work for Him. He made us for Himself. And He says to every single person, come, come, come. That's all you got to do. There's no preconditions to come. You don't have to clean up your life to come. You don't have to turn over a new leaf to come. You don't have to join a church to come. You don't have to get baptized to come. You come just like you are. And God will take you. He'll take you. So He said to Moses, come. But then He said something else. I want you to notice He says in that same verse, verse 1 of chapter 24, He said to Moses, come up. Come up. God is not going to lower His standard so that we can know Him. He expects Him to raise ours. He's not going to lower His standard so that we can get to know Him. He expects us to come up. You say, preacher, does that mean I got to be perfect to come to God? Was Adam and Eve perfect? No. Was Noah perfect? No, he got drunk. Remember Noah? He got drunk, but he still knew God. Was Abraham perfect? No. Was David perfect? No, you go back and you read the stories. That's why God, I think, put them in the Bible, so that we would realize that we don't have to be perfect to get to know Him. He says, I want you to be holy because I'm holy. But being holy and being perfect are two different things. I can't be perfect, but I can be holy. That word holy means that I'm set aside. I'm set aside from something to something. I'm set aside from the world and set aside to God. I can be that. I'm going to make mistakes and I'm going to mess up and I'm going to err because I'm still a human being. I'm still, just like in everybody here, we're still human beings, and God knows that we're going to mess up and we're going to fail and we're going to fall. But He knows that He set us aside for Himself. And He says, I want you to come and I want you to come up. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Titus chapter 2, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He wants us to separate ourselves from this world to Himself. I think the most wonderful picture that God gives us of this is marriage. I can only imagine what my wife would have said if we would have got up to the altar and stood before the preacher and I said, I'm taking you, but I'm going to keep these two girlfriends. You talk about... I mean, she would say, no way, Jose. I'm not making you my husband if you think you're going to hang on to these two girlfriends. She wanted me all to herself. And that's the same way God wants us. He said, look, I want you to withdraw yourself from the world. And He knows we can't do it all at once. But like we talked about in Sunday school, He wants us every day to get further away from the world and get closer to Him. To set ourselves more away from what's wicked and evil in this world and put our attention more on Him. And so He says, come and come up. And then in verse 2, He says, come up alone. And Moses alone shall come up near the Lord. There's a time and place for human fellowship. And coming to this place and fellowshipping with each other is a wonderful thing in our Christian life. Having a church family and having relationships in our church family and loving one another is a wonderful thing. But there are times when we ought to get by ourselves with God. And be with Him alone. Coming and worshiping Him together is a good thing because it encourages us. It instructs us. It shows us, as Brother Wendell saying a moment ago, people have problems. God gets them through. We have those same problems. He can get us through. And we can be an encouragement and a comfort to one another. But you draw closer to God in public worship. But there are times when you need to get by yourself with God, because the times when you get real close are when you are by yourself, when you're alone with Him. And again, I'll just go back and use marriage as an example. When are the sweetest times you have with your spouse? Yeah, you can have sweet times when company's there. You can have sweet times when the kids are there. But you need some time by yourself. You need some time alone. And God wants that from us. He doesn't want to share us. There are times He doesn't want to share us with anybody else. He wants us for Himself. He wants us to come away from the crowd. He wants us to give Him our full and complete attention. And again, I'll go back to the example of husband and wife. If you have company all the time, if you never have any time alone, your marriage is going to be in trouble. You need that time alone. You need that time when you send the kids to grandpa and grandma. And you need that time when you tell your company, hey, it's time to leave. You need to go home. You know, Benjamin Franklin said, company and fish stink after 3 days. You just need to send them home. And every husband and wife, if you haven't made it a practice, you need to start right now. You need to set aside some time to spend by yourself. And if you haven't made the practice as a Christian to set aside some time to be alone with your God, you need to do the same thing. Because we grow close when we're with Him by ourselves. And here's what happens. Same things happen with husband and wife. Same thing happens with us and God. We get so busy. We get so busy. Our schedule gets so full that if we're not careful, we'll forget the time that we need to spend alone, and we'll grow apart. Middle of the storm one night, a little boy was sleeping in his room, and thunder and lightning and the rain was coming down hard. And said, "Dad, Dad, would you come and sleep with me?" And his dad answers back, "I can't." And the little boy says, "Well, why?" And dad says, "Well, I gotta sleep with Mom." And the little boy says, "You big sissy." But he had his priorities straight. There are times when we just need to close out all the world. And I'll tell you, Satan will make it hard. I speak from personal experience. He'll make it hard. He'll even, he'll even try to bring good things into your life. Things that in themselves are good. But he's trying to get you away from spending that alone time with God. Don't let him. Don't let him. You grow closer to your God when you spend that time alone with him. So come. Come up. Come up alone. And number four, come early. In verse 4, "And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill." Someone else in the Bible said it's an example of getting early and being with God. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Verse is talking about Jesus, the Son of God. I don't know about you, but here's how I think about that. If the Son of God needed to get up early and spend some time alone in prayer, then why do I think that I can get by without it? If the one who left heaven, if the one who was God himself, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, if he thought it necessary and important to rise up early before day and spend time in prayer, then why do we think we can get by without it? You say, "Preacher, I need my beauty sleep." I'll look around and tell you, most of you ain't doing any good. I got to learn to be nicer. No, listen. I want you to get the right amount of sleep. I do. Because when you get tired, you get grouchy and you get grumpy. But listen. Listen to me. If you don't put it in your schedule to find time to get alone with God, and early in the morning is the best part of the day, you know what happens. You get up, you make it a point. Say, "I'm going to spend some time with God," and then the telephone rings, or somebody comes in the room, and you know, just one thing after another. And the next thing you know, the dinner dishes are in the sink waiting to be washed, and the whole day is gone. The whole day is gone. And if we don't make it a point to spend time with God and get up early to do it, and set that time aside, we won't draw closer to him. There's some wonderful things that can happen before the sun comes up. Some wonderful things when you get by yourself and you get into this book and you talk to the one who saved us. And you talk to the one who wants to know you and wants you to know him. So come early. Come up, come alone, come early. And then number 5, come and be there. Verse 12, "And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there." Don't just pop in. Come and stay for a while. Don't just eat and run. Come and let's just sit down and let's fellowship together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says, "Pray without ceasing." How do you do that? Well, you get in touch with God first thing in the morning, and you keep talking to him all day. Just keep talking to him all day. That's how you pray without ceasing. Get a hold of him in the morning. As Brother Wendell says, he never sleeps. Never slumbers or sleeps, Psalm 120-something. Just get a hold of him. Talk to him all day. Debbie has a friend. They don't see each other very much. They don't talk on the phone very much. But when they talk on the phone, the few times they do, they talk on the phone. I get the bill. 3-hour phone call. I go, I said, who are you talking to for 3 hours? And she tells me, I said, forget it. I'm going to write down the number. I'll never ask you again. Because they're friends. They're close friends. Because they spend that time talking. That's what God wants with us sometimes. I know sometimes our schedule won't permit it. But there are some times where we just need to come to his presence and we just need to say, I'm going to stay for a while. I can remember my last days, the last days of my grandmother. I would go and visit. I didn't get to see her very much because I lived in a different place. But I'd come in, and I'd want to do things for her. I mean, I'd want to, you know, if she needed something to be fixed, if she needed something put up or something like that, I just wanted to do it. I just wanted to help her. She said, nope, sit down. Just sit down. We're just going to talk. I can hire somebody to do all this stuff when you're not here. I just want the time together. And sometimes we get so busy serving God. And he wants us to serve. We are his workmanship, created unto good works, the Bible says. But sometimes I think God feels like my grandma did. He just liked to say to us, just sit down. Let's just talk. Let's just get to know one another. You just get to know me. And he says, come on and stay. Moses stayed up on the mount 40 days. He had to do it twice. Did it twice. 40 days. Can you imagine what it would be like if you could take your wife and go away and spend 40 days just the two of you? Yeah, some of you are laughing because you wouldn't be married when you came back. No, all kidding aside, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. That's what God wants. He doesn't want us to just pop in and say hi and then leave. He wants us to come and stay. That's how you get to know a person, by spending time with them. So he says, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We labor so much under the burden of sin, thinking that we can do something to pay for our own sin, and we can't. Because the Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. What we just need to do is what Jesus invites us to do, is come. We have a need. That need is to get our sins taken care of. We can't do that on our own. Nothing we can do to pay for our own sins. But praise God, he's already done it. Price has already been paid. All our sins are under the blood if we'll just come and take it. Would you do that this morning? Again, every time I think about it, every time I think that the Son of God left heaven, came to earth, lived among us, and went to a cross to pay for my sins, I always wonder why I waited so long to come to him. Why did I fight so much to come to the one that loved me so much? And if you're here today and you've never come to Jesus Christ, would you do it today? He wants you to come. He's given you a personal invitation to come. He's not willing that you should be separated from him. He wants the fellowship. Would you come? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for making the message so simple and so plain. And I pray for